Once again, we'd like to turn to John chapter 1. And once again, we'll read verses 19 through verse 28. This is the record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who art thou?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Art thou Elias?" He said, "I am not." "Art thou that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they unto him, "Who art thou? That we may give an answer to them that sent us. What sayest thou of thyself?" He said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou them, if thou be not the Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet?" John answered them, saying, "I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latched, I am not worthy to unloose." These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Again, John is in the Jordan Valley. He's preaching. He's baptizing converts. People are being saved. He's in Bethabara. From Matthew chapter 3 and verse 5, the crowds had come from Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. So people came from all directions. There was a great crowd. The Sanhedrin, or the religious leaders of that time, knew that from Scripture that there was a Messiah that was going to come. And they hear of this one preaching and baptizing. They began to get curious, so they sent a delegation of priests and Levites to simply find out who he is. "Who art thou?" He answered, first of all, from the negative, telling them who he wasn't. He said, "I'm not Christ. I'm not Elijah. I'm not that prophet." They asked him again, "Who art thou?" They weren't satisfied because he just said who he wasn't. "Who art thou that we have to give an answer to those who sent us? We need you to tell us who you are." And then they asked the third question. They said, "What sayest thou of thyself?" So they're asking his identity. "Who art thou?" twice. They are insisting that he openly and honestly declare who he was. "What sayest thou of thyself?" That's a good question. What sayest thou of thyself? That's something we can each ask ourselves. We want to speak tonight on identity and self-image. We who have been saved by grace, need to really, really get hold of who we are. We that have not only been saved, but added to one of the Lord's churches, need to really get a hold of who we are, our identity. We need to have a proper self-image. We hear a lot today about self-image. Most of it's just a bunch of baloney. But we do need to have a proper self-image. So in this message, we want to consider these two, identity and self-image. Both are very, very important. Who we are and who we think we are. Our identity, of course, is who we are. We're identified in a lot of different ways. But our identity is who we are. We're all several things. We're aunts, we're uncles, mothers, fathers, grandmothers, grandfathers, employees, employers, on we can go. We have many identities in the world. But we have an ultimate identity. And that's what we need to get really a hold of. And then self-image, of course, is our mental image, our mental view, our perception of ourself. Now, the two do not always coincide. In fact, they rarely do. Who we really are and our view of ourselves. But both are important in serving the Lord. Who we are and who we view ourselves to be. But self-image is internalized. It's an internalized mental picture or impression that we have of ourselves. We all have self-image. We have a mental picture of who we are. Again, it could be accurate. It may not be accurate at all. It is really the story that people tell themselves inside their own head concerning themselves. That's self-image. And of course, today, it is pushed that everyone has to have a positive self-image. You're the greatest thing that's ever lived, and just on and on and on it goes. But these two, identity and self-image, more often than not, do not coincide. They're not merely terms that are used in psychological babble, but they're very important. And they are absolutely critical factors in living for the Lord. Who we are and who we think we are. Very important. They're very important factors in being what we ought to be for the Lord. And sadly true amongst the saved, that many do not know their real identity. Because if they did, they wouldn't be as miserable as they are. If they really knew their real identity as a child of God, they have lost, many have lost sight of their identity. And many, of course, have a false or inaccurate self-image, and I suppose we all do in various areas and to various degrees. But all through the Word of God, we see two forces at work. There's the carnal, or you could call it the secular, and there's the spiritual. Those two forces are always at work. In Colossians 3 and verse 2, they're referred to as things above, that would be the spiritual, and things of the earth, that would be the carnal. And the things of the earth are not necessarily bad. They're just not spiritual. And the lives that we, the saved by grace, are called to live, are in regard to these two entities, that which is above that which is of the earth. Our lives are lived with regard to those two entities. That is, those two entities are somewhere in our lives. Things above, things of the earth. And again, things of the earth are not necessarily sinful, but we just need to distinguish between spiritual and that which isn't. So, though we have a connection and an identification to things on the earth, all of us do, we are connected to things on the earth, whether it be on and on we could go. We have an identification to things on the earth. But has saved people, that is not our ultimate identity. I'm glad that as a child of God, my ultimate identity is not this earth. It's spiritual things. So our ultimate identity is to be with things above. In other words, what we mean by that is what shapes our lives are to be things above. Yes, we have a connection to things of the earth. That connection is going to be there as long as we live on this earth. But our lives are to be shaped by things above, because that's our ultimate identity. The emphasis of our life doesn't mean that we have absolutely no concern for things on the earth. That would be irresponsible. But our emphasis is to be on things above, not on the things of the earth. What is to most influence and impact our lives is to be things above, and not the things of the earth. That doesn't mean that the things of the earth do not impact us. They certainly do. But our ultimate identity are things above. The dominating factor of our life is to be things above. The focal point is to be things above. The purpose, the meaning of our life is to be things above. That's our identity as a child of God. That is our ultimate identity. It is what matters the most. It's not saying the other things don't matter. They certainly matter. But there's something that matters the most, and that's the things above. So we that are saved are to live extraordinary and unique lives. All through Scripture, we have example upon example of those who lived counter to culture and openly and shamelessly served God, stood steadfast for God in the midst of God-despising and hostile culture. All through the Scripture, we see people living, rising above. The Scriptures are full of people who bore testimony before a God-despising and ignorant society. Scriptures are full of examples of people who stayed clean and did what was right in a corrupt and depraved and degenerate and reprobate society. A people who possess faith and who live their faith in the midst of unbelief. We have example of men. We have example of women who maintained godly conviction in the midst of instability, who maintained a strict adherence to truth in a society that was a culture that was saturated with heresy and blasphemy.
The Scriptures testify of a people who lived boldly in the midst of that which was opposing and even menacing and harassing. But they lived boldly. Scriptures tell us of a people who lived undeniably for God. No question. They lived their lives for God. A people who lived above that which was normal for the times. Lived above the routine. Lived above the mainstream. That's who God's people are. Scriptures tell us of a people who refused to be governed by society. A people who refused to be governed by culture. A people who could put a difference between clean and unclean, between holy and unholy, and right and wrong. The Scriptures abound with these examples. This was their identity. Scriptures tell us of a people who maintained commitment and devotion and loyalty to God. If the only time a person can maintain commitment is when everybody around them is committed, that's not commitment. But we read of a people who maintain commitment and devotion and loyalty to God in the midst of an enemy. In the midst of barriers, in the midst of difficulties and obstacles and troubles and problems. And they remained committed. That was their identity. That's who they were. All through the Scriptures. We see all through the Word of God there's encouragement by example and by word to be resolute in the service of the Lord. Not to be conformed to a godless society, a godless culture. Again, these individuals in the that the Bible tells us about, they knew their identity. You take Daniel and the three Hebrews, and there were others in that time. But just take Daniel and the three Hebrews. Did they not know who they were? They certainly did. They knew that they were of God. And they were not going to be conformed. They were not going to be drawn away. They knew their identity. They knew that. They also had a self-image that caused them to depend upon God. We are called not to become our surroundings. We're called not to become our surroundings and to live godless lives or godly lives in a godless time. We are called to live God-identified lives. Our lives are to be identified with God. We are called to live Christ. That's what a Christian is. That's our identity. Being saved does not make you a Christian. But we ought to be identified by the world as Christians. Followers of Christ. That's why they were called Christians first in Antioch. It was the enemies of God that gave them that name. That was their identity. Saul, in Acts chapter 9, when he was had letters to arrest God's people. He knew who he was looking for. They had an identity. And they had a way of life that they were identified by. Our lives are to beam the life of Christ. That is to be our identity. That is to be who we are. We're called to live God-penetrating lives. Lives that have some spiritual impact upon our families doesn't mean that they're going to be saved, but our lives ought to have some spiritual impact. We're called to live radical lives for Christ. And any life lived for Christ is radical as far as this world is concerned. We are to live lives that exceed mere religion. Our identity is not to be their religious. Our identity is to go beyond religion. The world is a very religious place. Religion doesn't necessarily have anything to do with God, by the way. We are called upon to live lives that baffle Satan. That's what Job did. And baffle the world. We are called to live spiritually thriving lives. We're called upon to think in a way that the unsaved cannot identify with. The way we think does not make sense to the lost person. That's our identity. It's who we are to be. And in order to fulfill our calling, we must realize our ultimate identity as a child of God and have a proper self-image. You know who it was that saved your soul, and you know how it came about. You'll have a proper self-image. There won't be that pride and self-righteousness, thinking we're better than everyone else. That won't even happen. They asked John the Baptist twice, "Who art thou?" The reason they asked the question, not merely because they were sent because of the uniqueness of this man's life. This man's different. They wouldn't have asked the question had he just lived like everyone else. But his life was so unique, and what he was doing was so unique. Who in the world are you? You're not like us. We want to know who you are. And the uniqueness of our lives ought to cause people to ask, "Who are you? Why are you so different?" That prompted the next question. "What sayest thou of thyself?" But the Word of God divides humanity into two groups. I'm talking about humanity on earth. There is the unsaved, and there are the saved. And the Word of God divides, there are two representative heads. There is Adam, and there is Christ. Just two. Saved and unsaved, Christ and Adam. The unsaved and the saved represent two contrary and separate families. One is determined by nature, the other, of course, by a new creation, salvation. The earthly and the heavenly, the saved and the unsaved, the carnal and the spiritual, represent two entirely different and opposing kingdoms. Jesus declared in John 18:36, "My kingdom is not of this world." What he's saying is, my kingdom is different. So there's two kingdoms. My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from hence. My kingdom does not come from this world. He's identifying his kingdom. So with the unsaved and the saved, there are two philosophies of life. It's of extreme importance that we know our identity. It's of extreme importance that we know which head we're under, Adam or Christ. It's of extreme importance that we recognize our identity with one of the two kingdoms. Kingdom of God, kingdom of Satan. It's important that we recognize our identity. And our self-image is shaped in relation to Christ. So they ask John the Baptist, "Who art thou? Who art thou?" Twice they asked him. Again, it's a question about his identity. And for you and I that are saved, think about that question. Who are we? Who are we? Well, we're the ones whose names have been written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. We're the ones who have been chosen by God before the foundation of the world. I like that identity. We are the ones who have passed from death unto life. We are the ones who have been justified by His grace. We are the ones who have been forgiven and reconciled to God. We are the ones who have been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. We are the ones who have been delivered from eternal death, from the power of darkness, and from the wrath to come. We are the ones that belong to Jesus Christ. So much so that we are heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Who are we? We are the called of God. Who are we? We are the eternally secure. We are complete in Jesus Christ. We are dearly loved of God. This is who we are. What an identity that we have. Why would anybody be ashamed of such an identity? We're the sheep of His flock. We are His workmanship. We're the craftsmanship of God, the miraculous power of God. We are citizens of heaven. We have all sufficiency in all things. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Well, I can't obey that scripture. Yes, you can. Because we have all things that pertain to life and godliness. Nothing else is needed. We have all sufficient grace. We have access to God. Who are we? We are a people who can approach God. That's who we are. That is our identity, and that is to come out in our life. I mean, when a lost person who does not pray, does not know how to pray, may be very hostile openly against God, but they come to you in time of crisis and say, "Would you pray?" What are they saying? You have an identity that you have access to God. That's a good identity to have. We have peace with God. That's why the world is so miserable. They're at odds with God. We have peace with God. This is our identity. We are a people that have peace with God. We have rest for our soul. We have the indwelling Holy Spirit. Who are we? The Holy Spirit dwells within us. That's who we are. That's our identity. That is our ultimate identity. We have a building of God in the heavens. Not only are we saved, but we've been called and we've been added to one of the Lord's churches. We are a member of one of the Lord's body. This is who we are. And we have a glorious future. Again, these blessings of God, grace is in every one of them. We didn't earn a single one. We didn't merit a single one. Knowing that plays a great role in our self-image. What have I to feel self-righteous about? Any righteousness that I have, God gave it to me. And same with you. So these blessings of God are our identity. And they override everything else. They override everything else. Again, we have other identities. We're aunts, we're uncles, and etc. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas. We understand that. But this identity overrides all others. We're saved. We're children of God. So they come to John and they ask these questions. Now notice John's identity and self-image in his answers. Who art thou? Is the question. What is your identity? And he first answered in the negative. He said, well, I want to tell you, first of all, I'm not Christ. Secondly, I want to tell you that I'm not Elijah. And thirdly, I'm not that prophet that you asked about. So part of our identity is who and what we're not. That's part of our identity. I'm not a drunk. It's part of my identity. I'm not that. Not a thief. On and on we could go. We need to know what we're not. And then we need to know the reason we're not is because God's grace. There's our self-image. Oh, that we realize our identity is not of the world. Who are you? Well, let me tell you this. I'm not of the world. We need to know who we're not. They ask verse 22, what sayest thou of thyself? In verse 23, he said unashamedly, boldly, and assuredly, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He knew his position in relation to the Lord. What sayest thou of thyself? I'm just a voice. That's all I am. A voice crying in the wilderness. You see, John the Baptist knew his calling. I'm the voice. And he identified himself with that calling. What sayest thou of thyself? I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. That is a call that takes our call from God is a call that takes precedence over everything else. But think about those words. What sayest thou of thyself? Well, we can say all the things that we've already said regarding our identity. We can say, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. I'm an individual who loves the Lord because He saved me. This is what we ought to all be able to say. I want to be close to Him. I want to honor Him. I want to glorify Him. What do you say of thyself? And it all centers around Him. You look at John the Baptist's answer. What sayest thou of thyself? And the answer is Christ. I'm just the voice. And what is that voice declaring? Christ. Everything I am he is saying, is associated with Christ. What sayest thou of thyself? And he immediately refers to the work that God gave him to do. That's his identity. And that work, of course, relates to Christ. He's the forerunner. He is the declarer of Christ. And then as you read on, you see that he refers to the greatness of Christ. He is preferred before me. You ask me who I am, I'm telling you about one who's preferred before me. And he goes on and he talks about his unworthiness. That's his identity. It's also his self-image. His identity and his self-image was Christ. Oh, how important it is for us to recognize who we really are. Sinners. Saved by grace. You know, a lot of people use that term to justify or defend their sinful actions. Well, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Well, that's not what we mean by that term. It doesn't justify anything. Sinner saved by grace, that's gratitude. We still realize, yes, I'm saved, I'm on my way to heaven, I'm not what I used to be, but I'm still a sinner. Grace has made the difference. Oh, how important it is to recognize who we are and to have a correct self-image. The Pharisees, of course, they had a very inaccurate self-image. They thought themselves better than everyone else because of their so-called works. Their self-image was very inaccurate. It's important that we have a correct self-image. We have to properly recognize where our ultimate identity lies. Once we do that, it's not so difficult to get our priorities in order. It's people that are trying to fit, I'm talking about the saved, people who are trying to fit in things above and things on the earth and do this balancing act. The priorities get all out of whack. We need to know our ultimate identity, and it's Christ. That keeps our priorities intact, causes us to live in light of His ownership and His authority. Live in obedience to Him, submission to His person, His laws, living our lives by His design, living our lives wholeheartedly and continually for the honor and glory of God. You and I, as God's people, should not have an identity crisis. We ought to know who we are. We're saved. Children of God. That's our identity. And we are to live our identity. Our lives are to manifest who we are. What we are. What we've become. So may we realize what we were by birth. We need to realize that. That goes a long way in shaping self-image, by the way. We also need to realize what we are now by grace, by God's saving power. And it's that that compels us to serve the Lord with the rest of our lives. None of us know what the rest of our lives entails. None of us know how long the rest of our lives is. But really, that's not what matters. What the rest of our lives entails, it really isn't what matters. However long we have, it really isn't what matters. What matters is that we serve the Lord with the rest of our life, whatever it entails. And however long or however short it might be. It's important that we know as children that we are the children of God. You say, well, that seems to me that that would make us awfully proud. Not if you know how you became a child of God. You didn't do it. He did. That gives us a proper self-image as well. God help us to know. God help us to be thankful for our identity. I'm a child of God. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. I'm a child of God. God's people say, oh, I wish I was so-and-so. Have you lost your mind? You're a child of God. And you wish you were somebody that was lost? You've lost sight of your identity. We shouldn't wish to be anything else than children of God. Shouldn't wish to be anywhere else than the place that God has put us. It's our identity. My main point is this, that our lives are to manifest who we are. We're not to send a mixed message to the world. We're to send a clear message. I'm a child of God, and I love the Lord. Brother Larry, if you'd come.